Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our foundation. Amen. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the longer we live in the Okanagan, we become more and more aware that we live in the region of vineyards. Do you recognize some of these spots? The development of these vineyards and wineries gives us the opportunity to really examine the symbolism and the allegory of the vineyard. How many of you have got sheep and goats? No? No. Okay, there's a few of you that are gardeners, but the most of us, we wouldn't really know how to plant seeds. Not too many rich people here. You know, the rich man. So having some difficulty in understanding the actual scriptures by actually living them, I'm inviting us from now on, find out what goes on in a vineyard. Find out what the growth season is, what the pruning's all about. Discover a little more, because I've been gathering over 300, I mentioned this, 300 scriptural references to vine and wine. Now, this is a Baptist church, so be careful about the wine. There's a lot to learn about the stories of the vine, and in particular, that beautiful saying where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now, when Jesus says that, when he says he's the vine and we are the branches, how do you actually see yourself as a branch with all that fruit hanging down? How do you see yourself attached to Jesus as the vine? Now, the passage that I've been working with, John 15, is prefaced with Jesus, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that Jesus and the disciples had been meeting in the upper room, and they had left the upper room, and this was the night before Jesus was arrested, and then he walked through a number of vineyards on the way to Gethsemane. And he took in his hand a vine and started to use it as a wonderful allegory. And he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you." Jesus is saying that, and I'm repeating myself from a couple of weeks ago, that in comparison to the nation of Israel, which was referred to as a vine, he is the true vine. He is the one who will produce at last, the fruit that God had designed. Jesus declares, "My Father is the gardener and his disciples are branches of the vine, and they need to be tended to." The first work of the gardener, the Father, in this vineyard is to take away any branch that does not bear fruit and prune the fruit bearing branches so that they may bear fruit. And we don't like that, do we? Could we get to the nice stuff about Jesus? What is this pruning all about? Well, Jesus goes on to stress that not only will there be pruning, but we need to be united with him. And next slide. If you remember the King James version of the Bible, or the American Standard, it says, "Abide in me and I in you." That word abide, very poetic. But do we really understand the poetry? And then the other one is in the New International Version that says, "Remain. Remain in me, and I also remain in you." Well, a number of years ago, there's a guy by the name of Eugene Peterson came out with another translation. I love it because it's kind of in your face. It pushes us because we've become comfortable with the word abide and remain. So we're going to put up the next slide. He says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Next slide. Then he says, live in me. He didn't say abide in me. He didn't say remain in me. Peterson's translation is saying, live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. So we have words to live, to make your home, to be joined. Next slide. Now, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined, he's pushing that again with me, and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic. I love that. I mean, did Peterson come up with organic? Because it's very popular nowadays. We think things that are organic are better. Well, they are. But Jesus is saying, I want you to be so close to me, so intimate, and so organic. And if you do that, the harvest is sure to be bountiful. And we see this picture of all those grapes. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is deadwood, gathered up and thrown onto the bonfire. Next slide. But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you. Okay, we've got that home image again. Planting inside, inside. The words are inside. If you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. So being at home with Jesus, and Jesus being at home with you, you will mature as disciples of Christ. Next slide. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. Wow. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Keep my Father's commandments and make yourself at home in his love. I've told you this. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy may be your joy and your joy wholly mature. Being united, being in a situation where we're at home with Jesus and Jesus is at home with us. And when you look at those passages, you have to recognize that there is a two-step process here. There's some action that we have to take, and there's something that God has to do. I call it activeness on our part and grace on God's part. For us to abide, to remain, to live in Jesus, for us to make our home in him, for us to join with Jesus, there's an expectation that we have to do something. And for Jesus to abide in us, to remain in us, to live in us, to make his home in us, for him to join with us, there's an expectation, in fact, a dependence on God's acts of grace. You see, by Jesus' grace, we are given a vision of life in the kingdom. Jesus brought us to an awareness of what the kingdom of God is like. Through his pronouncements, through his manifestations, through his teaching, God's purpose and will for our lives is revealed. Oh, through his pronouncements, I have come to give you life, and I have come to give it to you abundantly. His manifestations, his healing of people, his feeding of the 5,000, his teaching. Check out the Sermon on the Mount. All of these things reveal God's purpose and God's will for our lives. By Jesus' grace, we are given a vision of what life could be with Him now and for eternity. A life of abundance here and now, not just in the hereafter. In 2 Peter it says, divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. Through our knowledge of Him, through His blessing of the Holy Spirit, we are given a godly life. And 1 John says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. We are children of God. Now the action, that's God's grace, that's God's bestowing. We have become, or we should become, dependent on those acts of grace in our lives. Now our turn, what are we supposed to do? To abide, to remain, to live with Jesus in our lives. Well, how about spending some time with Him? Not just on Sunday morning. What do you do first thing in the morning? Get your cup of tea, get your cup of coffee, read the newspaper. Well, John Wesley said, read the scriptures before you read the newspaper. That's what I do. I'm an old Methodist. Read and study His word. Do you realize how many translations of the Bible there are? And it is exciting to put them side by side or on the computer and sure to check out what the different translators did. And if you're really smart, there's a guy over here who'll help you with the Greek and the Hebrew. Listen to Jesus. In your prayer life, have you ever talked to God and then hung up? Yeah, we all do that. Just listen. And do you allow God to prune you? Do you allow God the opportunity to prune you? We have a couple of people that want to tell us about that.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things or life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God. Shh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
What we do comes from who we are, what our hearts long for. What we do comes from who we are inside. And what we are inside is what our hearts long for. So the only solution we have is to call upon Jesus and going back to that poetic word, abide in me, Jesus. Come to me. Fill me. Fill me with your presence. In you. Let me abide in you, Lord Jesus. Let me learn your ways. Let me be touched by you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. That is the relationship between the vine and the branches. It comes down to that connection, holding on to that connection, nurturing that connection, and living in expectation of what Jesus is going to do in your life. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, there is so much busyness in our life. There is so much commotion. And we ask you, Lord, with our mind's eye, you would take us to the vineyard. In our mind's eye, Lord, let us cast our eyes upon the vines in this valley. And within our mind's eye, Lord, let us see the gardener. And with our mind's eye, let us see the pruning that is taking place. And with our mind's eye, Lord, let us see the beginning of fruit. And Lord, with our mind's eye, let us look to the fall and see the bounty of that fruit in that vineyard. And with our mind's eye, Lord, let us see. Let us see our lives changed. Let us see a revelation of Jesus Christ in our very being. And let us bring you glory, Lord, and praise and celebration. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.